Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. My name is Justin Kaufman. My guest tonight is one of the best pastry chefs Chicago's ever known. She's also the restaurateur behind the Bucktown favorite hot chocolate. Mindy Siegel has been working in Chicago kitchens for over 30 years. And after graduating from Kendall, she started at Ombria. She spent time with working for Charlie Trotter, Michael Cornick. She won the James Beard in 2012 for Best Pastry Chef. The list goes on and on and on. So many great chefs have worked for Siegel. She's also authored the book Cookie Love, which is already in its second printing. It was just put out last year. And she was just in the news for her announcement that she will be making cannabis-infused edibles for medical marijuana patients. Mindy Siegel's in studio with me tonight. Mindy, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Let's start with the pot. Let's just start right there because it's in the news. We'll just start. This is a big move for you. I mean, this could be an area that could be very lucrative and very successful because a lot of people want this, especially when it comes to medical marijuana in patients.
Yes. First of all, it has fortunately become legal in Illinois. And apparently, and I'm not sure the wave of the future is that it will be legal, hopefully. I mean, it's so crazy because I don't want to get political right now, but even though it's legal and there's a list of conditions that people can require a medical marijuana card at this point in time, as we're speaking, there are very few conditions,
and absolutely.
It's very unfortunate.
Illinois is being very conservative.
It's crazy. It's almost not cool.
Yeah.
Just for the mere fact that it, medically speaking, we're not even talking recreationally, but medically speaking, marijuana and all the different properties in marijuana have so many different medicinal qualities that help people. And it's unfortunate that we can drink profusely and it's legal and we can get in a car and kill people, but we can't smoke marijuana. And we can get addicted to opiates and all sorts of things, and that's okay. But to do something naturally is not okay.
I think the reason people are attracted to the story that you've announced that you've partnered to be able to do cannabis-infused edibles is because, as people know edibles, they're like, okay, well, you make a cookie and here it is. There's pot in it. Good. It'll get you high. You're one of the best pastry chefs in Chicago, if not the world. How are you thinking about doing it? I mean, obviously, with your whole career has been about experimentation.
It doesn't matter what I am. I'm just someone that knows how to bake. Okay, you know, I'm partnering with a phenomenal company who has an enormous amount of people that are very intelligent in the field of extracting and growing marijuana and extracting the flower into oils. And there's multiple ways you can do that. And they share the same vision with me in this area as I do in my restaurant sort of world. And that's the pursuit of excellence in anything that you do. And that is why I was so, I guess, enamored with Cresco. Mm-hmm. They're really smart guys. They're businessmen.
This is the company, right?
Yeah, they're smart. They have integrity to produce a product that's going to be excellent,
right,
and not just for medical marijuana. We're going in multiple states.
Well,
so
we would have to, right,
in order to make the brand work, because Illinois is, I don't
so
even
limited.
Know
yeah, right.
right now.
You
it
may
is,
not even it, find it here once it's
I,
done.
Yeah. It has to change. Obviously, I'm an advocate for it. Personally, I am, and professionally. So,
well, let me ask you, because as someone who knows how to bake, with Mindy Siegel, someone who knows how to bake.
Better. Wave, thank you.
Okay, that's how we've established that. You know, for you, I mean, what I'm fascinated by is just the idea of the experimentation. I mean, the idea of working with certain strands or using marijuana as an ingredient to baked goods. I mean, for you, I mean, what's that process like? I mean, when you're thinking about, okay, this works with this. I mean, you've worked so much with textures and ingredients,
yeah,
and trying to create the best pastry or dessert. Is it the same thing we're talking about? Like, I mean, is
yeah,
it a lot of experimentation
well,
to figure this out?
Well, first of all, the first two products that I'm coming out with are, because there will be some phases. I wish I could tell you that they're called brittle bars or brittle bites. They're something completely different, and it's something that I'm working on, and I've been working on whether it would be with cannabis in it or THC or CBD, mm-hmm, or whatever it would be in it, the oils. They're delicious on its own, and they're very unique. And they're something that I've actually been working on for a while. They're like these combinations of brittles, chocolate and blends of chocolate like I do, and I approach the hot chocolates that we serve at Hot Chocolate. I could say that hot chocolates at Hot Chocolates.
Yes, you can.
chocolates in the Hot Chocolates. And really cool ingredients. So they're like chewy and they're so good. I'll tell you a cute story. So my husband had one without – it was just non-medicated. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you are going to have to – make them it like with very small amounts of dose in them because everyone's going to want to eat multiple pieces.
Yeah, right.
You know, you can't just eat one of these. This is unfair. So, and this is an interesting sort of subject of dosing. What's becoming very popular right now is microdosing, which is small amounts of milligrams in a bite. In other words, like the legal amount that you could sell is 100 milligrams. And this, I'm talking recreationally we're into Colorado. So each individual piece has to be 10 milligrams for like legally. It can be 5. It can be 8.
Up to, right.
Yeah. But 10 is a lot. And then to be honest with you, 5 is a lot. So 2.5 is like that perfect amount that gets you to where you need to be. But it depends upon what you're doing. I mean, some people are eating marijuana and they really just want the CBD, the cannabinoid in it. It's like the medicinal part of it.
Okay.
The THC is the euphoric, whether it be the indica or the sativa strain or a hybrid. So it just really depends on what you're taking it for, you know? I mean, it's crazy.
It's crazy, too.
It's such an interesting field.
The edible
field,
which has always been kind of, it's one of those things where there's been no regulation in terms of how much is in, you know, when you talk about doses, how much is in different edibles.
It's actually very regulated now.
But it just feels like from the user standpoint that...
I mean, it is in Colorado. I don't know.
You eat a brownie, you don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
I guess that's the thing. Eat half. Don't eat a quarter. Maybe take a little bit and then take next.
That's how it was, you know, when I was a teenager.
That's what I'm referring to.
We were like recreationally eating brownies from a mix. Duncan Hines, you know, you put a little marijuana in it. You have no idea what's going to happen.
Right.
I mean, believe me, I know. I've had some really bad times doing that.
So there's a lot of distrust around it. In a way, they just don't know how high.
However, now that there are laws and there's advancement in the field, it's so funny because I went to Colorado and I did tours of all these grow facilities and, you know, dispensaries and, you know, you meet these guys from Colorado and they're like surfing guys, you know, they're like snowboarders, but they've been extracting oil from flower like their whole life, you know, and there's these young kids and you talk to them and you can't even have a conversation with them because they're so scientific and they know so much about the machinery and about how to do it and how to get it to the right point to have no bacteria, to have, you know, no other gases or whatever. You know, I'm probably making that up, but you know what I mean?
Is it a challenge for you as...
It was a challenge, but it's becoming less of a challenge every day because I'm learning so much about it. And that's why I went into this industry. It's a very cute story in my brain about how I came up with this story. Hopefully you'll like it. So can I tell you?
Yeah, of course you can.
Okay. So when I was approached by Cresco, I was actually approached by a couple people. I knew I would be because of my reputation. Because, you know, I'm kind of like, I'm not, people would say I'm crazy. But, you know.
You're a rock and roll pastry chef.
A little bit. Just a little bit. I mean.
You're rock star.
I like soft rock too.
Right.
I'm getting older. You know. But, you know, I started thinking about it in a moral sort of way. And I was talking to my parents about it. And I came up with the conclusion that the real reason why I am a chef and I own a restaurant is because I want to make people happy through food, through great service, through ambiance, through an experience. I want to make people happy. You know, I love walking through my restaurant, seeing people happy. And what better extension of my career and my knowledge is to make, let's just say, sick people feel better? Let's not even talk about recreational.
Right.
Or what if it was recreational and I wanted to make people feel happy in a controlled way where they knew exactly what they were eating, delicious edibles that made you feel good, whether you had cancer, whether you were sick, whether you had chronic pain, whatever it was. And I couldn't justify not doing it. And, you know, my father, who's very conservative, we talked about it. He started to read about it and read about marijuana and everything that's happening and the revolution of the marijuana industry. And he was like, you have to do this. You have to. It's like you're moral and you have to do it. And I was like, thanks, Dad. Thanks for making it okay. I mean, isn't that awesome?
It is awesome.
You know, so like, you know, my family, we have brunch every Sunday. And my brother is a child psychiatrist. He's very outspokenly pro-legalization of marijuana. And the four of us are sitting there talking about legalizing marijuana and the importance of legalizing it. And it's so funny because it's like, if this was like 40 years ago, I'd be grounded. You know what I mean? It's so cute.
We're talking with award-winning pastry chef Mindy Siegel, also a restaurateur behind her restaurant in Bucktown, Hot Chocolate. Let's take a break. We come back. Now we'll talk about your story, how you got into this work, and we'll leave the pot to the beginning. Does that sound good?
Cool. Yeah.
Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest tonight, Mindy Siegel, a woman who bakes. Does that work for you? No.
Yeah.
Award-winning pastry chef whose restaurant, Hot Chocolate, is in Bucktown. She won the James Beard in 2012 as for Best Pastry Chef, as well as just awards after awards after awards. She's an author, Cookie Love, which is in its second printing.
I'm the thing I'm most proud of, actually.
That is the thing you're most proud of.
It is.
Out of all the things that you've worked on, I mean, for winning awards and pastry chefs and as being an author.
I would say that is absolutely up in the top two. I don't know. I had such a great experience writing a book. It was awesome. I had something to say, you know. I mean, obviously.
What's the other one? What's the other thing you're proud of?
You know, I've been able to employ approximately 40 to 49 people for the past 11 years and give them a job and give them spending money. And I've seen people meet each other in my restaurant and get married and have families and... Yeah, it's pretty rewarding. Make other people chefs. I mean, the extension of you is very rewarding for me. And I'm proud, very proud.
We're going to talk about your life in the kitchen because, you know, you came out of culinary school and you got to work with some of the best. I mean, I mentioned at the top, you know, after Kendall, you went to work at Ombria, you worked with Michael Cornick, Charlie Trotter. Talk about what brought you to them. I mean, what made you want to get into pastries?
Well, first of all, I did work with some great chefs that we all know about, but the thing that we don't really talk about are the people that I worked with on the line who taught me so much, not just about cooking, but about the spirit of cooking and the integrity of cooking. And I've worked with some really cool guys that were amazing that taught me that. And you don't even know who they are. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's all those people. Yeah, I worked for Charlie Trotter. Sure. Yeah, I did. But the people that I worked with in the kitchen that have been made lifelong friends of mine, like Bill Kim, you don't hear about them, and it's sometimes sad. But even the kids in my kitchen now that I think are phenomenal, you know, they're so good.
Well, there's a whole life that, you know, people don't know about in the kitchens. I mean, I've had chefs in, and we've talked about it's not just this celebrity chefdom where you're in the front and what a great restaurant you've created. I mean, there's a lot of work. There's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that goes into it. And there's a lot of...
No crying. In pastry. That's what we say.
I say
that to my staff. There's no crying in pastry. Why are you crying? Crying on the inside. Like a winner.
Cry on the inside.
Yeah,
that's good.
It's hard to do. Or go in the walk-in so no one sees.
All right, so talk about that. When you first started, I mean, I would assume
you had to
go through a lot of this ritual, a lot of like, this isn't good enough. This, do this again.
Well, nothing's good enough.
You. Yeah, so
nothing's
talk about that.
Nothing's ever good enough. It's never good enough now. It's never good enough. It's always can be better. Always. And that's hard because when you, and it's, you know, something that I identified very closely with working for Trotter was that pursuit of excellence, it's innate in you, and you either have it or you don't. You don't have to talk about it because you know. And it's a different, there's a difference between having that innate sort of like, I'm in the pursuit of excellence in my craft, as opposed to always wanting to be good and do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference because you will never do the right thing. And sometimes, and most of the time, when you don't do the right thing, you teach yourself something new. So never be embrace the mistake.
That's
embrace
amazing.
I
mean, it's got to be so hard, though, because working in a kitchen, I mean, there are deadlines.
Well,
there are things you got to get out on the line,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and you know, you have these kids that come work for you, and they're so tightly wound up and nervous and intensified by the rush of being in the kitchen and working with people and people that are known or whatever it is, talented. And they get so caught up on, I have to be perfect. And there is no perfect. There's no such thing as perfect. Get it out of your head. It's so hard to get that out of somebody's brain. And you have to sort of like retrain people how to think.
But how do you do it? I mean, you just said like the idea is that nothing
is
perfect.
You yell, scream, and break them down until they cry.
But it's the pursuit. But it's the pursuit of perfection. I mean, yeah, it's inside you. So how do you marry that when the idea that nothing is perfect, but you're pursuing perfection?
Well, first of all, it is a requirement in my kitchen that you watch Jiro Dreams of Sushi. Requirement.
Okay.
I have two copies of it. I also give people this list of what my expectations of what a cook should know. And a lot of them are like philosophical. They're not even like, you need to learn how to dice an onion.
Right.
You know, they're like, do you know what the person next to you is doing? Do you know how to pair a glass of wine or a beer with your dish that you're cooking every night on the line? Do you know what it tastes like? Do you know how to season? Do you know the importance of salt and pepper? Do you know the differences between all the salts? You know, blah, 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 blah. You know, so, you know, it's like, I mean, it can get crazy, but, you know.
Have you always been this
intense?
No, not intense, philosophical or reflective about
it. Yes, I'm very. No, absolutely not. You know, I'm older now and I'm wiser and I made a lot of mistakes working in a kitchen and working with people and owning my own business and opening my own business and being mean to people and instilling fear in people and thinking that was how you were going to get the best of them. And one day I had an epiphany and I realized the importance of the golden rule.
What's the golden rule?
Do unto others as they would do to you. And I realized that that was like the key to success. It's very simple.
Very simple.
Very simple. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Speak to them like they're your peers. Speak to them like their matter counts. Speak to them like it's important to have them in your kitchen.
But you had to learn that. Because, I mean, you just said, I mean,
I'm still learning.
You made mistakes. You were too mean, things like that.
Yeah,
like, at what
awful,
point?
Uptight, I mean, like, wound up, a mess. So I smoke pot now.
let's take a break because I want to get to the news. And I want to come back and continue the conversation. Award-winning pastry chef Mindy Siegel and restaurateur, her restaurant Hot Chocolate in Bucktown. We're talking about I'm enjoying this conversation. We're talking about life in the kitchen and the lessons that you've learned about your life from working in such a, you know, a high pressure environment. Mindy Siegel, of course, 2012 James Beard winner for Best Pastry Chef. We'll have more with Mindy when we return. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Coffin. My guest tonight, award-winning pastry chef Mindy Siegel. Mindy's restaurant, Hot Chocolate in Bucktown, has been there for over 10 years now.
11.
11 years. I remember when you opened. I used to live right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because I was reading stuff about you before we talked today, and you had said at one point, I'm not sure that this restaurant feels like me.
True.
What does that mean?
It was actually in 2012. And I don't know, throughout my career, I could tell you I had a really bad year that year. I had a really good year that year. That was a great year. I had really good hair that year. I made great desserts that year. That was a really bad year. You know, it's like there are ebbs and flows. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Sure.
2012 was this year that I had been nominated for the James Beard Award going on my sixth time. And I was just like, I'm never going to win, you know, and, you know, whiny baby, totally distracted in things I should not be distracted in. And I don't know, I was overworked. I was working in the kitchen a lot. I had a chef that year that I hired and I hated this person and he made my insides crawl.
Oh, no.
And I did not like him. And it was giving me like...
It was anxiety.
Anxiety,
yeah.
You know. So I was just like, I don't like my restaurant. I don't like the food. I don't like look at this room. It doesn't even feel like me, you know. And I decided we had saved some money, and I decided to redo my restaurant that year. And I decided to make the restaurant feel like me more, way more than it was.
What does
at this
that
point.
Mean?
I decorated. I designed it. I redesigned it. I took, you know, the light fixtures out, and I bought light fixtures, and I spent the entire, like, sort of, like, winter going to flea markets and, you know, buying stuff that I felt, like, reclaimed wood tables and lots of iron and, you know, metals. And so it really felt industrial and because the room is very industrial.
Well, you mentioned also that you had seen Hot Chocolate as a different kind of restaurant when you envisioned it, that it was going to be a late night kind of dessert. There was a real movement
at that time. I have no idea. Yes, I did. And it's like, you know,
it was like
I have,
dessert,
you know,
dessert
what can
bar.
I tell you? Yeah. Like what I felt in the beginning, what I know now, you know, but I, you know, and then you, you know, that philosophical part of me comes in. And it's like, I couldn't have gotten here without getting there and doing that without doing this. It's like, so you, there's no regrets. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I decided to redo my restaurant. This is a cute story. You want to hear it?
Of course I want to hear it. So, does it look like I don't want to hear it? I feel like you keep saying that to me. Like, you want to hear it? Yeah, I want to hear it.
Because I'm like, blah, blah, blah. So, I'll tell you. So I decided in November to go to Miraval because I heard that Miraval had this, like, program to handle stress. It was a week-long program. I had money saved. I'm going. So I get on a plane. I go. Before I go, Michael Corner calls me on the phone, and he says, look, do not leave there without doing the Equine experience. You have to do it.
Miraval's a...
it's a holistic health spot.
Yeah, right. It's like a wellness.
Yeah, it's like, kumbaya, all that kind of stuff.
So you were going down. Which, you know, I mean, for you and your reputation at that point, you're like, you are a taskmaster. You get things done.
Yeah.
You're abrasive.
Like,
you're going to go.
I needed to check out. I needed to refigure my restaurant. I needed to go. So many people told me about this place. So I went by myself. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to do the Equine experience. So you have to understand it, that at this point I was having so much anxiety about my restaurant and my life. And it was crazy, crazy. So I stayed an extra day. So I go and they pick you up in a van. And I know what's happening. I know what's going to happen. I know this is going to change my life. I know. I already know this. So I'm hyperventilating in the van with like eight other people that are going with me to share this experience. I cannot control. I'm crying. I can't stop crying. It was like this thing took
over. Before you even got
there. I didn't even do anything
yet.
You're
in a van.
Yeah, I'm already like freaking out about this whole thing. Right. Yeah, it was crazy. So we get there. We're paired off with two other people. And I kept saying to everybody, I'm really sorry. I'm just an absolute wreck right now. And I apologize. So I get there, I have this partner and these girls in their cowboy outfits and their cowboy boots, they're like, this is what you're going to do. And you're going to go up to the horse and you're going to pick the hoof up and you're going to clean the hoof. And they're like, but you have to understand that if you're very nervous and uptight, the horse will sense your energy. And it won't, and he will not, or she will not, the horse will not respond to you.
Exercise, right?
That's why people do horse therapy.
Right, sure.
So I walk up, you know, take a deep breath, and the horse does not respond to me. I'm like,
maybe it's a bad horse.
Blah blah blah.
Is it possible it's a bad horse?
No, I didn't even think about that. But I'm a wreck. And the girl comes up to me. I mean, she couldn't have been more than 21 years old. She comes up to me. Obviously, I've been working with horses her entire life. She comes up to me and she says, "What's wrong?" I say, it's not working. I'm a mess. I can't breathe." And she's like, "Well, what are you afraid of?" I said, I guess I'm afraid of the horse not picking up his leg. You know, I'm failing at this. And she goes, what would happen if he didn't pick up his leg? I said, he wouldn't pick up his leg. And she goes, well, will you still be you? And I said, yeah. And she goes, well, then when is enough for you?
Yeah.
I can't. There are no, woo, birds flying in the air, you know, like, oh my God, this young kid just told me my life lesson.
When is
it enough? Enough?
When is enough?
Who cares? Let's be you. Relax. So I was like, okay,
and so was that the point where you sort of looked at what you were doing in your restaurant and
completely
how you were treating people
way.
And everything? You said, you know what?
Completely in a different way. Completely.
That's so interesting.
Completely in a different way. And I walked up to that horse and he lifted up his.
Oh!
And I got to tell you that these people that were with me all wrote me a letter and said, you changed my life.
Wow.
I cannot believe it. Blah, da, 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 da. It was unbelievable. The next day, I did a huge hike in the Sonoran Desert to watch the sunrise and I went home. And, you know, believe me, I had to do a lot of work after I got home, but it was. You know, I mean, and you know, it didn't resonate with me for a couple of years, this whole philosophy of letting go, but I learned it, and it was a great life lesson because I came back, I fired that chef, I changed my menu, I redid the restaurant, and I got the Beard Award.
Wow.
Good energy.
It's interesting to me because it almost flies in the face of what I mean, in a way you were taught and what you knew about perfection and the idea that, you know what, this has to be done better. This has to be, it's not right. This is, you know, this is not enough.
Well, if you go back and you think about when you were a child and you were doing something that you wanted to do, whether it was coloring on the wall or taking apart all the toilet paper or whatever it was, and your parents screamed and yelled at you, you didn't learn anything.
Yeah.
You had to learn it on your own. Well, this isn't right. This is not the right thing to do. I think, like, I tried to adapt that whole philosophy in teaching my staff, not necessarily my recipes or how to crack an egg, but how to be the right team member in a team.
You've kind of changed roles. Yeah. You know, in the last year, you went from being, you know, this is Mindy's restaurant. It says Mindy's Hot Chocolate. You were from the beginning to the end. It was your experience and everything. Everyone worked under you. And you made a conscious decision to say, still my restaurant, but I'm going to oversee. I'm going to let other people. And you say this is the best year yet for the restaurant.
Yeah. I think because it allowed me to have the perspective of everything as opposed to having the perspective of the cloud. I think when you are so involved in something, you don't know what's going on. But when you step back and you look and you reflect, you're able to see things in a different way. And it's the truth. You know, it's like the same thing. I tell this to my staff. You've made that recipe five times the same way, but you expect to get a different result every single time you make it. Why don't you do something, one thing different, and think about it? And maybe you'll get a different result.
Does Mindy Siegel, who's running the kitchen, who's in there in the heat, in the kitchen situation, do you give the same advice? I mean, or
yeah,
is
no.
it the Mindy Siegel that has moved up here to
no,
the overseer?
No, no, I give this advice to everybody. This is the new Mindy. New age.
New age Mindy.
Yeah, yeah. But this is the truth. I mean, this is not a lie. This is the truth. So I am not the chef. I'm not the pastry chef. I'm not the manager. I'm just the owner.
Was it hard to make that transition?
It took me a year. Yeah, it's still hard. Still, I'm in my restaurant six nights. I'm not in there six nights a week, but I'm there every day. And sometimes I go on Monday when we're closed and I fish around. Yeah, but, you know, I'm very closely involved in my restaurant.
Yeah.
I only have one restaurant, so where else am I going to go?
Well, let me ask you about that because, you know, as we kind of wrap up, I want to ask you about Chicago because you've dedicated your life and your work here in town. I mean, you've
Until now.
Until now, right?
Dun, 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 dun. No, yeah, until now.
Until now.
Yeah.
But let me ask you about that because this town has seen an explosion in talent and restaurants. I mean, it's become, like everyone says, the culinary destination for America. And you've been a big part of that. I mean, you've been one of the names that have just drawn people here, that's work has been rewarded at, you know, at the national, international level. Talk about what your relationship is like with the city, with Chicago, with the customers, and more importantly, the restaurant scene.
I was just about to break out in song, but I decided not to. No, I was going to sing Chicago, but no. Well, I'm from Chicago, born and raised. You know, Chicago's restaurant scene is very incestual. We have a good community. We're primarily all friends with each other. You know, I can text anybody and the answer's yes for the most part. Same with me. I mean, people ask advice for me all the time. So it's actually a really good community of people. It sure has changed a lot in the past 5 years.
How so?
Well, the amount of restaurants that have opened up and the amount of multiple restaurants that restaurateurs have opened up and restaurant groups and hospitality groups and what used to be a small group is now a big group. And sometimes I think it seems as if the soul of the restaurant has changed. And there is a new resurgence of single standing restaurants from one owner. But, you know, they're opening up their own restaurant. And then who knows if they're going to open up a bar. Then they're going to open up this. And they're, you know, it's like, I feel right. like no one is just settled doing what they're doing. It's like the constant thing. And so what's happening is that it's creating a chef shortage, a management shortage, an alcohol shortage, you know. And it's hard because the person who has this one single standing restaurant has a much disadvantage to the person that has the multiple restaurant for multiple reasons. And I mean, I don't want to say that it's sucking the soul out of our city, but, and you know, I'll get in trouble for that probably.
But you're new age Mindy. You don't have to worry about it anymore.
I don't care. But, you know, it's... I want to say something really bad right now, but I'm going to hold myself. I'm going to go like this. Keep my mouth shut.
What you're gonna say, I mean, you're just saying that, I mean, without...
It's not a good time right now for people like me in the restaurant industry because I don't have the backing of an HR department, of a director of operations, of multiple restaurants that I can pick and choose and pull. And I don't have the financing to... you know, say to like a purveyor, well, I have 10 restaurants, so I want pricing for the 10 restaurants.
Right.
You know, it's not like that. So I'm a single, you know, I have to make it work, make it fair, make the portions, you know, and it's like everything's really expensive and it's really hard. And I've been really lucky, but, you know.
Do you see a time where running a restaurant or, you know, even being involved in pastries will be a thing of the past for you, that, you know, that maybe this industry here in Chicago will be without Mindy Siegel?
I don't know. What do you want me to say?
I don't know.
Possibly.
Possibly.
I mean, I'm 48 and a half and three quarters. I mean, how much longer can I do this? I'm a lifer in the industry, but I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I love my restaurant.
Yeah.
I have a closing date in mind. I will not say.
It's just a lot of that tonight.
But I have a closing year in mind.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't know. I mean, right now I'm really enjoying my restaurant. I absolutely love my chef, Aaron Arnett. I can't say enough about him. I love my pastry chef, Becky Brodsky. I love my managers. I love them all. So,
Mindy,
so I just, you know, yeah. You know, Brooke and Michael, I'm trying to give them, you know, I'm giving them props right now. It's Simona. They're all great.
My mom,
you know, my mom helps me run my restaurant.
Well,
so it's like,
I want to say that, you know, I want you to come back on the show because I feel like
part two.
Yeah. I don't know. There's much more than just, you know, I do interviews with chefs and we talk a lot about what they're working on in the restaurant or what they want to do with the menu, but rarely do we get to a place, you know, a philosophical place about what this work means and what it means to you and what the city means. So I'd love to have you back.
Great. Of course.
Award-winning pastry chef Mindy Siegel, her restaurant Hot Chocolate in Bucktown. Also, she's the author of Cookie Love, which is already in its second printing. So the list goes on and on. We'll do the rest of your bio next time you're here. Mindy, thanks for coming in.
Yes.